Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to our time together on this Tuesday. I'm so glad you're here. If you've been with us, you know that I'm just almost too excited about this series that Derek's been teaching, because I believe that people grappling with evil, why it happens to good people, is one of the great themes of mankind, one of the great themes of human literature, and it's one of the great areas of offense for Christians. Why do bad things happen to God's people? And that's what Derek's teaching us about this week. It's been a marvelous teaching that he began by talking about Adam and Eve and their rebellion, and how sometimes our attitudes, our heart attitudes, and our actions can welcome suffering into our lives. And then he's also been bringing great truth from the book of Job, talking about how our sufferings are often mysteries or things that God is using that he's not fully disclosing to us all the details of. I love what we're about to deal with today, because in what Derek's going to teach to us from the book of Job today, God shows up. At the end of all of the discussion and all of Job's friends giving false religious ideas and all of Job's complaints, finally God shows up and he says, basically, you don't know what you're talking about. Let me set you straight. So today is going to be a powerful time. Be sure and get a pad and a pen and your Bible and be ready to take notes. And by the way, if you've missed any of this teaching, log on to the website at derekprince.org. You can listen to it as often as you like, as well as find out a bunch of great things about Derek Prince Ministries and listen to a bunch of other marvelous teachings. Well, let's get right to the teaching today as Derek teaches us about God's challenge to Job.
In Job 31, he gives a list of the sins that he never committed. And the whole of that chapter is a list, and there are 11 sins he said he never committed. And while we were installing elders a few nights ago, the thought came to me that Job is a pretty good picture of what an elder ought to be. And you can find all the references all in chapter 31. Now after 31, we have 32, 33, 34, 35, and 36. That's five chapters, 37, six chapters, from a young man named Elihu. Now, young in those days was probably 50 or 60. And this is something, I mean, the Bible just doesn't tell you some things. It leaves you to think for yourself. Elihu was much younger than the other men, and he said, I really oughtn't to be speaking, but you're all wrong, and I want to straighten you out. And he, as I say, he gives five chapters. And the interesting thing is, and I'm not sure I can explain it, is when God comments on everybody, he totally ignores Elihu. And I can't help wondering how Elihu felt at the end of it. He must have been either sitting or standing, waiting. What is God going to say about what I said? And the answer is, God passed him over in total silence. And I don't know why. But anyhow, we're going to do the same. Not because I've any prejudice against him, but because we don't have time. It's a remarkable achievement if we can go through the book of Job in two sessions, believe me. So, chapter 38 is where we're going to start. Now we come to the Lord. Appeared in a whirlwind, or didn't appear, but was present in a whirlwind. And he answered Job direct. I think it must have been a somewhat frightening experience for all those people there when the whirlwind came up, and who knows how it affected them. And then out of the whirlwind, God himself in person spoke to them. And the first thing he said, now I'm going to paraphrase this, he spoke to Job and he said, you've been talking about things you just don't understand. Your words were absolutely out of place, irrelevant. But anyhow, I'll help you. So if you, somebody said sometimes about people, every time they open their mouth, they put their foot in it. So if you should be one of those people, bear in mind, the Lord still loves you. and he's got an answer for you. So I'm going to try and sum up what God said. It's chapters 38, 39, 40, and 41. Which is 38 to 41 is four chapters, isn't it? All right, now this is my summation. God describes to Job and his friends how he runs the universe. And he gives a lot of details, which we'll go into in a moment. And then he challenges Job, and he said, do you want to take over the job? That's the essence of what he said. Can you do a better job than I do of running the universe? And then he goes into a lot of detail about what's involved in running the universe. And this is what he says. It's in Job 38, verses, beginning at verse 4, and going through the end of chapter 41. And here are some of the things that God deals with while he runs the universe. And there's a long list. It's rather interesting. And he's saying to Job all the time, could you handle this? Or could you handle that? Verses 4 through 7, he says, the creation of the earth. Were you there? Verses 8 through 11, he said, can you control the sea? 12 through 15, can you control the sunrise and the sunlight? Especially in relationship to controlling the wicked. Then in verses 16 through 18, he says, do you know the dimensions of the earth? And do you know the nether world, Hades and the abode of the dead? Verses 19 through 21, he says, what can you do about light and darkness? Verses 22 through 30, he says, can you control the elements, the sun, the rain, the frost, and the cold? In verses 31 through 35, he says, can you control the constellations and the heavenly bodies? Verses 34 through 38, he says, can you control the rain and the snow? Are they under your control? Do you know how to manage them? Then in chapter 38, verse 39, through chapter 39, he speaks about a number of living creatures, all of whom he has his eye on. And the list is quite interesting. And so these are the following: lions, ravens, mountain goats, deer. With regard to the deer, he says, do you know the time when they bring forth? Can you be a midwife to the deer? Can you count the month for them? The wild donkeys, the onager, which is another kind of donkey, the wild ox, the ostrich, the stork, the horse, the hawk, and the eagle. In Job 40, verses 1 and 2, Job says, in effect, I give up. Then Job answered the Lord, Job answered, verse 3 and 5, 3 through 5, behold, I am vile, what shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. I render that, Lord, I give up. But then the Lord goes on in chapter 40, verses 6 through 14, and he says, which is very significant, can you take over dealing with the wicked? And I think I'll read those verses. As I meditated on this, and I thought about the appalling wickedness that is rampant in the earth today, I said, thank God I don't have to deal with it. This is what he says. Would you indeed annul my judgment? That's chapter 40, verse 8. Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. And I think that's a challenge to you and me. Can we deal with the wickedness that's in the earth today? Do we know how to to treat the wicked? Do we know how to bring them into subjection? The answer is definitely no. I'm so thankful that God does. I'm prepared to leave the job to Him.
You know, sometimes when we're in very difficult seasons, it's almost as though we need for God to show up and say, "Shut up. Be quiet. Listen to me. All your stirring, all your running around, all the opinions of men, let them be silenced. Let me set you straight." May the Lord give you that kind of clear guidance in your seasons of suffering. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Faith. Explore the mystery, promises, and powers of genuine faith as you read the insightful book, Faith to Live By. In it, Derek Prince answers your questions about faith and reveals how to pray effectively, understand spiritual gifts, and truly enjoy an abundant life. In this easy-to-read book, based solidly on the Scriptures, you'll discover what God is saying to you. Order your copy of Faith to Live By now for only $8.95 when you call toll-free 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Faith to Live By is a hope-filled resource for every Christian who wants to receive the promises of a faith-filled life. Order now. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order securely when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thrilled that you're here and thrilled particularly with this marvelous series by Derek Prince on why bad things happen to God's people. And we're learning something today, something that ought to be at the very foundation of our theology, and that is God is God and we're not. God is God, and we are not. Principle one of a Christian theology. We're learning it because that's the key to rightly approaching suffering. Let's listen.
And then in chapter 40, verses 15 through 24, and chapter 41, the whole chapter, he deals with two particular creatures. In chapter 40, verse 15, he says, "Look now at the behemoth, which I made along with you." And we don't know what behemoth is. Some people think it's the elephant. I think that's quite possible. Then chapter 41, there are 34 verses that deal with one creature, which is amazing. If you think how economical the Bible is of words. And this creature is called Leviathan. And there's a very, very vivid picture of Leviathan. And I don't think anybody knows for sure, but if you read the description, the thing it sounds most like is a dragon, because it has fiery breath. Its breath can kindle coals, and it's totally impervious to any kind of weapon. Any weapon you use against it just doesn't have any effect on it. Now, this is simply a thought, but you know that in many mythologies, especially in China, there are many vivid pictures of the dragon. And I personally believe there is a reality behind them. I believe there is a Leviathan. The Bible speaks about him in various places. Apparently, Leviathan lives mainly in the sea. Many, many years ago, and I always regret deeply that I didn't keep this record. I got hold, when in the 1950s, I got hold of a book in England that recorded reports from the British Navy of a creature that had been seen on several occasions in the sea. And it was very long, and it curled up in many different. And this was official naval reports. This was not hearsay. And I believe that probably that was a sighting of Leviathan. There's other references to Leviathan which we won't go into, but I believe that Leviathan is or was, in fact I believe is, a real creature. And God says, "Can you deal with Leviathan?" And it's very interesting because, I mean, there are 34 verses describing Leviathan. He must be of some significance. And the final verse, verse 34, speaking of Leviathan, says, "He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride." That really is a description of Satan. He is the king over all the children of pride. If you look for a moment in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says about those of us who were dead in trespasses and sins, in Ephesians 2 verses 1 and 2, "You who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." That's really the same thing as the one who is king over all the children of pride. So in a certain sense, God is saying, can you deal with Satan? You know what my answer is? Definitely not. I'm glad that God has accepted the responsibility. I don't want to take the job out of his hands. And when Job was confronted with this, he said, "Lord, far be it from me." But I think there's a very important lesson. Lots of people today impugn the way God is running the world. They have all sorts of criticisms. Why doesn't he stop war? Why doesn't he stop famine? Why doesn't he stop disease? But God says, are you prepared to take over? Can you do a better job than I'm doing? If not, let me run my business my way. And I think that's a message to all of us. It's not just for Job. Now, the next thing that comes out of God's answer is very important, and I think it's often overlooked. It's this: God is not remote and indifferent in regard to his creation. He is continuously and intimately concerned with all his creatures, whether it's a donkey or a goat or a hawk or an eagle or whatever. He's not remote, he doesn't view it from afar. He's interested in the time that the deer give birth. He's watching over it. See, that's a very different picture from what most people have of God. Let me give you just one picture from Jesus, which says it all in a way. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, Matthew 10:29. "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will?" But that's a very unfortunate translation, because what the old King James said was right. Not one of them falls to the ground without your Father. In other words, God the Father is interested in every sparrow that falls to the ground. I heard a preacher once say, God takes time out to attend the sparrow's funeral. That's a totally different picture from what most of us have. It's even more impressive if together with that you read Luke chapter 12 and verse 6. Nothing could emphasize more God's intimate concern in the smallest details of his creatures. Luke 12:6, Jesus saying, "Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins? And not one of them is forgotten before God." So, if you have one copper coin, you can buy two sparrows. But if you have two copper coins, you can buy five. In other words, an extra sparrow is thrown in, free of charge. And Jesus says, God is interested even in that extra sparrow. Totally different picture from what most of us have of God. He's not remote. He's not uninterested. He's not unaffected. He's concerned about the very smallest of his creatures. And he watches over them all with intense interest.
Isn't the great lie that we're tempted to believe when we're suffering is that God is uncaring? that he's disinterested, that he's not affected. I mean, that's what I feel. I feel abandoned. I feel like a motherless child. I feel like God has completely neglected me. And the great conclusion of Job is that God is not removed from us, that God is there and intimately involved in everything. It transforms our whole sense of what we're experiencing. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
When does a total surrender ensure a powerful victory? In his classic teaching, Grace of Yielding, Derek Prince explains from the scriptures why God will abundantly bless you when you are willing to yield completely to Him. As you listen to this special audio CD, you'll discover how to please God in all you do, strengthen and mature your faith, and receive your inheritance as a child of God. As our way of saying thank you for listening to Derek Prince Legacy Radio, we want you to have a copy of Derek's inspiring audio CD, free and postage paid. To request your copy, call us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the grace of yielding. Request your free copy now, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or request your free copy of Grace of Yielding securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us here on this Tuesday. And I'm particularly grateful that you're here because we're listening to such a marvelous teaching. And I want to take a few moments just to apply some truths to our lives. This teaching is so transforming. It settles so much in our lives. I've loved, as we've listened to Derek teach, the humanity of Job. Because again, we've been dealing with this whole issue of what happens or what's going on when bad things happen to God's people. And in the book of Job, a book that's normally depressing and distressing, and many people just avoid it because they think it's all full of bad news. The reality is that we see Job being very human, very complaining, accusing God, rejecting his friends, and yet God is proud of him. God actually says he's righteous, and at no time are we ever told that he sinned. In fact, we're told that Job didn't sin in his response. I think the issue when it comes to suffering is the response. You know, I love the dichotomy at the beginning of the book of Luke, where you have John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, and when the angel appears to him to announce John the Baptist's birth, he says, "How can I be sure of this?" In other words, how can I be sure? Give me some evidence. Give me something beyond just faith. I want to be sure. And as a result, he's unable to speak the entire time of his wife's pregnancy. Then, just a few paragraphs later, the angel appears to Mary, and she says, "How will I know when this is true?" That's literally what it means in the Greek. She doesn't say, "How can I be sure?" She doesn't doubt what's said. She simply says, "How will I know when this happens?" There's a response of faith to the dealings of God that does not insist that God bow at the altar of our reason and our need for evidence, but rather a response that says, "You are Lord. I want to comply and accommodate what you are doing. What do you want me to do? How can I know? How will I know when these things happen?" And I want to suggest that this is one of the great keys of the Christian life. It's not insisting that everything makes sense. The reality is that there is mystery in the Christian life. There are things we're not going to know. And the response of the faithful heart is that we are willing for us not to know things, not to have the evidence that we wish we had, and yet to continue to be faithful to God as we trust He is faithful to us. Well, listen, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's book, Faith to Live By, available for only $8.95. To order, simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And don't forget to request your free audio CD copy of Grace of Yielding, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can find both of these resources online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.